The following is a sermon from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information and resources can be found online at parkchurch.org.
We are on page 161 in the Pewback Bible. If you're flipping around there, pulling out your new Christmas journal. Starting on the top right in verse 11. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend to heaven for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?" But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of our Lord.
All right, thank you, Ben. A little light passage for this last Sunday of the year. Life or death, that's our decision today. Caroline gave me a lucky guitar pick before I jumped up here, so thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Eric Frazier, and I am one of the non-staff lay elders here at Park Church. We've got 11 congregational elders, of which 6 are non-staff or lay, and I am one of those. And so it's good to be with you this morning. It's the Frazier Show. My wife, Brooke, just gave the announcement about the prayer room. And so we've been coming to Park for over 14 years, and we've been married for just over 20, and we've got 4 wonderful kids over here sitting so nicely in the pews, which they will be doing for the next 15 minutes. The last 2 years, we've had the pleasure of listening to another one of our elders. Our eldest elder, Brent Summers, has kind of given this homily each year, but today is his and Luann's wedding anniversary. Now, I don't know if they made it in today, but they're a super special part of our church, and I think 40-something years they've been married, and so I got the call to show up today. So it's good to be with you. We have had quite a week in the Frazier family this week, and that's probably true for all of us. It's the holidays. It's been kind of a wild time, but this one is particularly interesting. So around the Frazier house, we have a bedtime story series that I call Daddy Disasters. And my kids love these because they love to see all the different ways that their dad has been involved in disasters. And there's a couple of common themes in these disasters. One is that the moral of the story, especially for the kids in the room, is what not to do. So do not try this at home. And another theme is that a common character in a lot of these stories is my identical twin brother, Kyle, who he's in Austin, Texas. He's probably watching right now, so shout out to Kyle. So the latest installment of Daddy Disasters happened very recently, and I'm proud to say that I wasn't a part of this one, which is rare, but my brother was, and I must say it's kind of a gruesome tale, but I'm going to tell it anyways. And so this happened on Christmas Eve, I think it was. There was some tall, wet grass, and it was getting mowed. Apparently you can do that in Texas and Austin this time of year. So he was mowing his grass, and he was getting a lot of grass stuck in the lawnmower. And so naturally, You want to kick the wet grass out so you can keep moving. He's also highly efficient and action-oriented. So to stop, turn it off, and deal with that was a little bit too much. And so y'all know where this is going. And so eventually, Kyle gets his foot into the lawnmower. Yeah, I know. And there's probably so many questions going through your mind right now, as there were for all of us. But I thought I'd just put a picture of it on the board so we can maybe see it. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to. Now, there are pictures, and I have not seen them. I don't think I can handle that. But no, he had surgery on Friday. It was some pretty good news. He gets to, his big toe is okay. And apparently that's like 90% of the work down there is your big toe. So that's good. He's going to have some middle toes, some little piggies that'll be there. He gets to keep them all. So he gets to keep all those, so they'll be present, but maybe not functioning. So you're probably wondering like what the connection is to the sermon. So I'm going to try and make that transition right now. When I was thinking about this passage that Ben just read, I have set before you life and death. So choose life. This was just the first thing that came to mind, and it was fresh. And so maybe this is an example of what not to do and what choosing death in a scenario can lead to. So in our scripture reading this morning from Deuteronomy 30, the command in this passage is to choose life. But how do we do that? Moses seems to give us this pattern of looking back and remembering. We've even spent a little bit of time doing that this morning in worship, so that we can move forward in hope and ultimately to choose life. And so today I'm going to break this up into three kind of sections, looking back, moving forward, and then choosing life. And I'm going to try and do all that in 15 minutes, but before I jump in, let me just pray for us as we get started. Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for your word. God, I ask that you would draw out of us, out of our hearts, what it is that you want us to see in it today, what awareness that we're lacking and that we're in need of. Holy Spirit, would you guide even the words out of my mouth, that we would hear what we've come this morning for you, that you want us to hear. And so, God, would you get the glory? And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay. So first, looking back, doing a year in review has become an annual liturgy for me, and my family can attest that I often make this a group activity. I like to list out all of the milestones that I can think of, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the trips that we took, the accomplishments, of course, but also where we experience loss or sadness. We can get lost in the day-to-day and miss the arc of the year. And so the practice can be helpful. And if you've ever practiced daily examine, it's a very similar practice. It actually reminds me of those pictures that are like a picture made up of a bunch of smaller pictures. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like, I think they call it a photo mosaic. So you kind of have this like theme of something. It could be a scene or a person. And then when you drill in, it's got a bunch of snapshots and individual shots. And so I like to think of a year in review. Like you're showing up today. You've got something you're feeling or something you're experiencing, but it's made up of a bunch of these little snapshots. This scene in Deuteronomy was one of those key moments of remembering for the Israelites. The Israelites were about to enter the land that was promised to them after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The torch was being passed from Moses to Joshua, and there was a lot to reflect on. Gratitude for the way that God showed up and sustained them, how he brought them out of captivity in Egypt, provided manna from heaven, but there was also lament for the tragedies and the death that they had experienced as a community. There was lament for the ways that they had turned away from the one true God towards false gods and idols and the consequences of those choices. Deuteronomy chapter 29, the passage just before the one that we read, is literally a list of the triumphs and trials and promises that they had experienced during the season. And Moses was calling on the people to remember. He was kind of building a photo mosaic for the Israelites before they were to inherit the promised land. This idea of remembering is mentioned literally hundreds of times in the Bible. And it's interesting to note that oftentimes tragedy and triumph, gratitude and lament go hand in hand. I believe there's something for us as a church in the season of turning the calendar on a new year. As we step back and take in the bigger picture of this past year, what were the moments or the individual photographs that are making up your photo mosaic today that tell the bigger story of how you're showing up? Can we be honest about those things and in doing so, come face to face with the Jesus that is in our joy and our sorrows? And so my first invitation, I've got three invitations. If you like to take notes or you're action-oriented like I am, this is your first action item. This is my invitation. So Park Church, I want to invite you to take some time this week to reflect on this past year. Where did God show up for you? Where have you experienced loss or tragedy? What do you want to say to God about this last year? And what do you think that God wants to say to you? So section two, looking forward. Hope is a powerful thing, but it matters what we put our hope in. And nothing paints this picture for me more vividly than Christmas morning. And for all the wrong reasons, of course. None of you kids in the room are going to be able to relate to this. But when I was a kid, the hope and anticipation of presents on Christmas was unbearable. I could barely contain myself. I could barely sleep. And I would get up often way before it was an appropriate time, and I would just rush in to the Christmas room. We all have the room where those presents are going to show up on Christmas morning, just full of hope. But there was always that inevitable letdown when the day came and went. Even if I got everything I was asking for, no offense, my parents are also here, because the object of my hope couldn't deliver. The hope was misplaced and it was eventually fleeting. Now, as an adult, and I'm sure the adults in the room aren't going to be able to relate to this either, but I found new things to put my hope in, and oftentimes without even realizing it. There's something that's so compelling about the stock market and how it relates to hope, right? Stay with me. I think you probably know where I'm going. When you own a particular stock, or in some cases a lot of a particular stock, there's just a ton of potential, right? There's a just imagine element to it. If the stock just goes to this level, like just imagine, or if we can just get back to where we were in 2022, right? I got that mountain house I was thinking about. My kids are going to get to go to college, so that's cool. Some seed money for that startup idea that I had, right? And you're just watching. It's going down. It's going up. It might be down in the toilet, but you haven't sold it yet, and the company hasn't gone out of business. So, like, there's a chance, right? There's this hope. And much like expectations for my kids or when I was a kid on Christmas morning, it's virtually impossible to live up to those expectations. I got to experience that roller coaster personally this year. As a company that I'd worked for 10 and a half years, I wasn't working for them at the time, but had invested a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and played that roller coaster and just watched it go into bankruptcy this year. And with it, wiping out all the shareholders and all of our hopes and dreams. Clearly a misplaced hope, and one that was fleeting, but just a reminder of where we find our hope. Because what we need is a living hope, one that doesn't evaporate like a mist as soon as we get just almost close enough to touch it and grasp it. And the idea of remembering that we just talked about brings us back again and again to where our real hope can be found. And the interesting thing about gratitude and lament is that both of them tend to bring us face to face with Jesus, who is our living hope. I have and I will continue to lament what could have been if my previous company hadn't gone under. But the reality is that that experience has been an invitation to reorient, to cling tighter to that which is solid ground. The hope that the Israelites had is the same hope that we have today. a restored relationship with God. You start to get the picture for Moses as you read through his Deuteronomy sermon series, that he knows that the point of all this isn't the promised land. The land's flowing with milk and honey. It's supposed to be great, but like, that'll be good. But the real point of it is that they get to be with God and be God's people. And so this is my second invitation for us today. And so, Park Church, after taking a moment to look back, what hope are you looking forward to? Where is your energy and time going to be invested in this next year? What hope is welling up within you and within your soul, and is it satisfying you? My third and final movement here is to choose life. There's a great line in a song written by a musician named NF. You guys heard of NF, right? The song is called Oh Lord, and the line says, everybody's gonna die, not everybody lives though, right? It's pretty profound. And the line in the song, it comes so fast, you're like, wait, hold on a second, time out. Like, can we camp out on that for just a second? Especially when you think about this call in Deuteronomy of, see, I have set before you life and death. Everybody's going to die. Don't everybody live, though? It's pretty profound. And we see this concept in Genesis as well, right? Where Adam and Eve are in the garden and they had this opportunity to choose life or death. And as most of us know, they chose death. But that initial death turned out to be more of a spiritual one, a separation from God. And so there is a way to live that the Bible calls death, and a way to die without ever having lived. And I think God wants more for us, just like Moses wanted more for his people, and it's to choose life, and it's to choose it with him. What's crazy is that Moses knew that the Israelites, they were going to mess it up. And so in the very next chapters, I'm paraphrasing now, but Moses is basically like, even though we just spent all this time remembering, looking back and thanking the Lord and looking forward and reorienting our hope and in our life in the one true God, you're still going to mess it up. And so it's kind of crazy when you think about it too, because even early in the passage, Moses is like, you got this, right? Verses 11 through 14, Ben read it, and I won't read the whole thing again now, but he's like, it's like a coach who's sending his offensive line into the game, and he's like, guys, you got this. I know the team's tough, but we practiced for this. You're ready. You're going to get them. And then as soon as they go into the game, he's like, there's not a chance. There's no way they're going to make it. You know, like, they're toast. And so there's sort of like a, there's sort of two natural responses to that. One is we can be like, it's all good. I'm an achiever. I'm an Enneagram 3, so I can architect this thing. I will make a plan for how we're going to win, how I'm going to win in 2025. So I'll self-help the heck out of it. That's one sort of extreme. You know, the other extreme is like, why even try? You know, like, what's the point? You know, we're going to mess up. And so as with most things in life, it's sort of trying to figure out that messy middle where you do the hard work, you take the losses, you celebrate the wins, you make mistakes, and you keep coming back to Jesus. And that's sort of, I think Moses is pointing that. And I just wanted to call out what seems like a bit of a contradiction there. This decision between life and death, thankfully, it's not a one-time decision. It's not the, you know, take the red pill or the blue pill. I don't know if that still resonates. I feel like The Matrix was so long ago, but like, there's a group of people that have never even seen it. But it's not one of those moments, thankfully, right? This idea of choosing life and death, it's not like, choose wisely because this is it. It's more of this like daily, you know, weekly, monthly of reorienting. We're going to have tons of opportunities to choose life or death. And it's like, let's choose life more often than we don't, right? And when we don't, how do we come back to our living hope? Here's the best news of all. And if you remember nothing besides that great intro that I gave, remember this. It's when, not if, but when we do make decisions that move us away from our living hope. When we do choose death, Jesus is right there inviting us to return. And his mercies are new every morning. And he's got this look in his eyes. It's this knowing look, this understanding look. It's not shocked. It's not surprised. But it says, I knew you were going to mess this up, and I still love you. So stick with me. Stay right here. Stay close, because this is life, and right now, in this moment, if you're standing here with me, with all your anger, with all your fear, you can bring your disappointments, frustrations, and joy. If you're standing here, then you are choosing life. We just celebrated the birth of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have life. And so this is my final invitation to you. Park Church, may we stay close to our living hope. Whether you are swimming in tragedy today or you're at the top of your game, your hope isn't in either of those. Your hope is in Jesus, his presence, his promise. And so tomorrow when you wake up, will you choose life? Will the culmination of all the seemingly small decisions in your days, weeks, months, and years lead you towards Jesus and not away from him? Will you choose life? Now, if you will pray with me, the band can come back on stage. Jesus, we thank you for the season. We thank you for the opportunity to come back to you, and that you do, God. You give us so many second and third chances, and you've got really thick skin, and you can take our angers and frustrations and the things that are causing us to maybe not even want to show up today. But God, we think that you take those things and that you understand them, and that you give us your presence. And so, Father, would you, as we think back on this next year and reflect on the ways that you showed up for us, as we listen, take some time to just listen to what you want to say to us, would you speak to us in some real and some powerful ways? And would you prepare us for this next year, that we would choose life and that we would do it with you, and that we would be ready for what it is you're calling us into next. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Park Church exists to make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God and the joy of all people. More information and more resources can be found online at parkchurch.org. Take care.